that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue confess. Matthew 1:21 says, she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Shakespeare wrote, what's in a name? A rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. I think what Shakespeare is implying there is no matter what you call something, it's still going to be the same. So names aren't really all that important. But we know that they are, especially to the Jewish people in naming children. And to the Puritans here in America in the 1700s, what they named their child was very important. I want to give you a few literal examples of children's names of Puritan Christians. This was a child's name: Sorry for Sin, Copeland; Fear God, Barbone; Flee Fornication, Andrews; Kill Sin, Pimple; Search the Scriptures, Robinson. And this was a child's name, for real: If Christ Had Not Died for Thee, Thou Hast Been Damned, Barbone. So they called him Damned Barbone for short. I was named after my dad. So my first name is Philip, which means lover of horses. I can't think that my parents must have really messed up when they were naming me and that my name was supposed to have meaning or significance. I really don't care for horses all that much. In fact, I'm a little afraid of them. Edward is my middle name, which means strong tower. I think they did a little bit better with that name. And Vincent, I guess, means son of Vin, which son of is very common in the Bible. A person would be Bar somebody, like Bar Jonah, son of Jonah. So the Jews placed a great emphasis on naming their children because the name stood for character, who that child would be or would become. And God would change someone's name, if need be, to fit who they were to become. Jacob became Israel, which means prevail with God. Simon became Peter, which means the rock. So when it came to naming the Son of God, obviously, this would be extremely important. So an angel came to Joseph in a dream and told him what he was to name his son. He said, Mary, whom you're betrothed to, who is a virgin, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. It says, you are to give him this name. There's no negotiating the name at all. Maybe Joseph liked Joe Jr. better. It doesn't matter. He's going to be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And so it was. If someone would have encountered Joseph on the streets of Bethlehem and said, I heard you just had a son, what's his name? He would have said, Jesus. That name is found about 500 times in the Gospels and over 800 times in the rest of the New Testament. And of all the names of Jesus, and there are many, I love that name, Jesus. It's my favorite, Jesus. There's just something about that name, the hymn writer says. In fact, many hymns have the name Jesus in the title. I just looked through our pew Bible and there were 36 hymns in there that have Jesus in the title. Jesus, the Very Thought of You by Bernard Clairvoy is probably my favorite. I love the name Jesus. Can we say that name? Jesus. Yeshua in the Aramaic is what he would have been called on the street, which means Yahweh saves or the Lord of salvation. Jesus came to save, and that's why I love that name so much. But let's look at some other significant features about a name. The name of Jesus, it's a simple name. I don't know if that's really important or profound or not, but I think it is. Aren't you glad his name isn't, and I hope I pronounce this correctly, Tiglath-Pileser, Adonai-Bezek. There's a guy named that in the Bible, believe it or not. Now, that would have been rough for the hymn writers to have done something with that name. But the name Jesus, two syllables, five letters in English, and it sounds similar in most languages, just kind of rolls off the tongue. People in English-speaking countries don't name their children Jesus. Have you noticed that? Wouldn't that be a hard name to live up to? But in Israel in the first century, it was a very common name, Yeshua, the Old Testament name for Joshua. It's a simple name because we're a simple people. It's a simple name, and children love that name. Secondly, it's a great name. It's a great name. According to the Jewish historian Josephus, there were 11 Joshuas in the Old Testament, the most famous being Moses' right-hand man, who had a book in the Bible named after him. Did you know he had a name change? Numbers 13:16, these were the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. I didn't remember that Joshua's name was something else, and that was a name change. Hoshea means salvation. Yahweh means Lord. The Lord saves, or Joshua. And Joshua was a savior of sorts. He was a very good type and shadow of Jesus. He led the Jews from the desert into the promised land. Jesus leads us from sin into freedom spiritually. Joshua conquered enemies and giants. Jesus conquered sin, hell, and the grave. Joshua's salvation was earthly and temporal. Jesus's is heavenly and eternal. Hebrews 4:8. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. The writer to the Hebrews recognized a greater Joshua needed to come, because Joshua could only save them physically, not spiritually. And so a greater than Joshua did come, someone with the same name, Jesus. It's a famous name. Most likely, Jesus was born in the basement of a very simple house where the animals were kept. A manger would have been nearby, a feeding trough, and he was placed in it. That reveals to us Jesus had a very humble beginning. And the offering in the temple, in which he was dedicated to the Lord, two doves or pigeons were offered by his parents, which means he was very poor, his family. Jesus was a laborer, a carpenter by trade, died at 33 as a common criminal executed by the Roman government on a cross. Crosses were how they killed criminals. Yet the name of Jesus is famous the world over, even though his beginning and origin as a baby in a manger would signify something very different than becoming so world famous. In fact, I would venture to say that the name of Jesus is the most famous name and person in all human history. People from other countries and even religions know the name of Jesus. Ironically, in America, where he's very well known by name, he's basically ignored, and his followers sometimes despised and hated. Yet, these same people celebrate Jesus' birthday with presents and food. I think it's strange to celebrate the birth of someone you don't love and that you ignore. Would you go to the party of an enemy? But people do with Jesus. People, his enemies even, celebrate his birth every December 25th, which I think is a little strange. And by the way, we don't know the exact date of his birth. I think it was probably during the fall festivals in Israel, or perhaps springtime, when shepherds would actually be out in the fields at night, not in December when it was cold. December 25th was a pagan holiday that was celebrated by the increasing light from December 21st to the 22nd to the 25th. The days, the light is increasing. So there was a holiday to celebrate that. The early Christians took that pagan holiday and infused it with new meaning. So rather than thinking that unbelievers hijacked Christmas, I think of it as Christians hijacked a pagan holiday and gave it new meaning. Fourthly, it's a powerful name. When Jesus ascended to heaven, his Father sent the Holy Spirit to be with his disciples. And the Holy Spirit helped them continue Jesus' work throughout the world. And he gave them another gift to do that work, his name. Acts 3:6. And Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, sit up and walk. And so this man, this lame beggar, stood up and walked. And Peter then explained how this miracle happened in verse 16. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given this man this perfect health in the presence of you all. Now, we are Jesus' disciples today. We continue his work around the world. He's given us this powerful name to use in prayer and ministry. John 16:23, in that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So we pray in the name of Jesus. We minister in the name of Jesus to those in need. Fifthly, it's an exclusive name. Back to Matthew 1:21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Who else in all the world saves us from our sins? We can forgive someone who sins against us, but we can't forgive their sins. No human can. Only God can. And the Jews knew that. Matthew 9:2-3. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. They were so upset because only God can forgive sins. Yet Jesus forgave sins. That means Jesus is God. No priest or pastor can forgive your sin. Only Jesus can. And that's what makes him unique above all human beings who've ever lived. His mission was unique. Acts 4:12 says, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So when people say to you, there are many paths to God, we Christians must respectfully say, no, that's not true. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus' name is very exclusive. Let's say I wanted to call my wife. There's only a sequence of 10 exact numbers that I must dial to reach her. I can't just punch in any old number I want. I won't reach her. God has made it that the only way to him, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus. And so we Christians who hold to that view are sometimes ridiculed as being narrow-minded. Look, that's not our goal. We don't aim to be narrow-minded. We don't think we're better than anyone else. We just know that we didn't make Christianity up. We just believe that it's true. We would say we're just merely the recipients of God's grace and forgiveness. But we know that that salvation is only through Jesus, so we stand with him as the only way. Now, I don't relish being called narrow-minded, but I want to be as narrow-minded as the Bible is. And I certainly don't want to be so broad-minded that my brains fall out. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. So if Jesus really is who he claimed to be, and he is the unique and only Son of God, and he alone deserves our worship. Not the Friends Church or the Baptist Church or the Catholic Church, nor any human, Jesus alone. Only Jesus can save you from your sin. And I experience that. It's not just my belief. It's not just my philosophy of life or my religion. Jesus made himself real to me because he's alive. I remember the first day I was saved. I want to just tell you about my first day, day one of being a Christian. Actually, I want to go to the night before. I was at a festival and some street preachers were preaching. And I saw some friends from high school pushing them and making fun of them. And I came over to join in. But I heard what they were saying and it pricked me to the heart. And I realized I needed what they were talking about. So they invited me to church. I came to church with them the next morning. At the end of the service, there was an altar call given. I came down front and prayed to receive Christ. But then I looked at those young men who were there at the altar with me and I said, nothing happened. So they took me into a prayer room near the sanctuary and were praying over me. And one of them said, if a guy walked into this room right now with a gun and said, I'm going to kill one of you, he said, I would ask the guy to kill me because I know Jesus. And if I died, I would go to heaven. And if you don't, you would go to hell. And right then I just began to cry. I realized this stranger would be willing to die for me. He must have something that I don't. And that's when I received Jesus as my Savior. When I walked out of that building, it was like the sky was so blue. I'd never seen a sky so blue before. And the leaves on the tree were so green. It was like the blinders had been removed from my eyes. And they said to me, we're going to pick you up later in the afternoon and take you to a party of some people that we're witnessing to. So get all your rock albums, get all your drugs and drug paraphernalia, and we'll pick you up. So I got all that stuff together. We went to this party and they were saying, this guy right here just accepted Christ as his Savior. And to prove it, he's going to burn up all his drug stuff. And I did. And then they said, go get a sledgehammer to show that he's a new person in Christ. He's going to smash all his rock albums. And I thought, I am? And they put the sledgehammer in my hand and I smashed them all up. Then they took me back to the house and they cut my long hair because they showed me a verse in the Bible that said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Sorry if you have long hair. So now I have a buzz haircut. And they said, come to church with us tonight because we're going to have a baptism service and you're going to be baptized. So that night I went to church with them and got baptized. That was all in one day. Whew. You know what? Jesus changed my life. I didn't mind all that stuff happening at all. It wasn't too much. It was great. I believed on him and he changed the way I was thinking and acting. And he's still helping me. Nobody said, you got to be good now. Just Jesus began to change how I thought and acted. No one told me you must do this or you must do that. Jesus came into my heart and forgave my sins, and I begin to change. Have you experienced that? Maybe not the same way I did, or maybe your first day of salvation wasn't exactly like mine, but you can experience that this Christmas because Jesus is alive. Maybe you've read a lot of self-help books or listened to podcasts and try to improve as a person. Those things can help a little, but they can't change your nature. They don't forgive your sin or give you peace within. Only one person can really change your life, and that's Jesus. Not adding more religion to your life, but the relationship with a person who is alive. Who can save you from your sins? Only Jesus can. The last is, it's an exalted name. Let me read Philippians 2, 9 through 11. And that's been my text through this series. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Someday, every knee will bow to that name in heaven and on earth. Even the ones that use that name as a cuss word, they will bow. So let us learn to honor and esteem that name. Well, I've got to pray now. So I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if there's someone in the sound of my voice this morning that you would say, I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm going to give you the opportunity just to slip up your hand right now. Do you need to make that commitment of your life to Jesus Christ? I'd be happy to pray with you. Anyone here this morning that wants to make that commitment? I see that. Okay. Lord, I thank you for the hand I saw. And so, Lord, I would pray for that individual that you would come into his heart and live in him and change him from the inside out, Lord. Thank you for doing that for all of us. You offer that free gift of salvation, and you ask us merely to believe it's true. And so we have. We affirm you, Jesus, the name above all names, that you are the only way to salvation, and that we have placed our complete and total trust in you alone for salvation. We receive the free gift of eternal life brought to us by your Holy Spirit who lives within. Thank you that we can celebrate the name of Jesus today and every day. It's in that great name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.